Thank you, Art. All right, brethren, let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Our subject tonight is the hidden wisdom. The hidden wisdom. Let's read verses 7 and verse 8. But we speak, that is, we preach, the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Now he says we. He's speaking here of true God-born, God-redeemed, God-sent, God-blessed preachers. And he says, we preach the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God is the gospel we preach. We preach the wisdom of God. That's our message, the wisdom of God. God's wisdom in making His glory known, in bringing His people to glory in Him alone, and not glorying in our flesh. That's wisdom. We preach the wisdom of God to give His Son all the glory, all the preeminence in all things. That's God's wisdom. And that's the wisdom we preach. We preach the wisdom of God to save a chosen people from this fallen sea of humanity who are totally helpless to save ourselves from beginning to end. And we preach the wisdom of God to save and not lose one. Our message is the wisdom of God. That's what we're preaching, the wisdom of God. Now, this message we preach, the wisdom of God, it's the only wisdom that's truly needed. The only wisdom that's truly needed. And this is the only wisdom that will eternally benefit a sinner. Now, that being the case, it would seem like everybody, above everything else in their lives, would be seeking to know the wisdom of God. This would be something valuable, more valuable than silver and gold, more valuable than any earthly education, more valuable than lands and houses and all of those things. This would be the most cherished thing that could be sought after is the wisdom of God. But how come so very few are interested in this wisdom? How is it that so many hear the preaching of the gospel and to them it's just drudgery? It's just, I hate to go there and I hate to have to sit through this. And it's just, there's so much more I'd like to be doing. Why is this not wisdom to you? Well, the reason that so few cherish the wisdom of God, which we preach, is because it takes God to reveal this wisdom in the heart. And only when God has revealed it will we truly treasure this wisdom. It takes God to reveal it. And only when God reveals it will we treasure this wisdom. Now here's the first thing I want us to see. Until God reveals Christ in us, the gospel, the wisdom of God, is a mystery, a hidden mystery. Look here in verse 7. We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Now, what did the Scriptures mean when the Scriptures speak of the gospel being a mystery? He says here, we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom. What do the Scriptures mean by that? Well, turn over to Ephesians chapter 3. We're going to look at quite a bit of Scripture tonight. I think it's needful. Let's begin in Ephesians 1. Go back there. In Ephesians 1, Paul said, he spoke about God choosing His people. He spoke about God predestinating His people. And look what he says in verse 7. He says, in Christ we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of God's grace, wherein, in choosing Christ, in choosing His people in Christ, in sending Christ to redeem His people, and in revealing this to us, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and all prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Himself. The mystery of God's will. That's what we preach. And this is what we do not know until God reveals this to us. The mystery of God's will. What is the mystery of God's will? The next verse, he says in verse 10, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, when the time's done, He is going to gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him. Now, this is the mystery of His will that He's revealed to us. Now, look at Ephesians 3, and let's look at verse 1. This is kind of a lengthy passage, but Paul's dealing with this now. He says, for this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you've heard of the dispensation of the grace of God. The word dispensation means stewardship. We're called, preachers are called stewards of the mysteries of God. We're stewards of the mysteries of God. And he says here, and he gave this to me for you, to give to you. He's talking to Gentiles. He says, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. You remember Paul? Brother Eric's been showing us in Philippians how Paul was putting all this confidence in his flesh. How he was circumcised the eighth day, and how he was of what family he was of, what tribe he was of, all the works he had done in religion. And he says here, but by revelation, he made known unto me the mystery. Christ met him, and Christ made him know the mystery. It had to be revealed. It's by divine revelation that he made him know the mystery of the gospel. And he says, as I wrote afore in few words. He means all those the first two chapters there. Showing how God chose his people, sent Christ to redeem them, predestinated them to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, how he quickens us together with Christ and raises us up together with Christ, how he broke down that middle wall of partition when he fulfilled the law for his people. All these mysteries that are hidden to us when we're in our natural born state. We don't know these things. And I don't mean just knowing them with your intellect. I mean having them made known to you so that you love this gospel. And you see that this gospel is your only hope and your only salvation. You see it in a person. That's what we're talking about. And he says, I wrote this in few words, verse 4, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Now, he's not boasting of any knowledge in him. He just said, the only way I got this was by revelation. But when God reveals the mystery of the gospel to you, you're going to have knowledge. It's going to be the knowledge of the Son of God. And he's going to grow his child from that day forward in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus. That we don't start with Christ and then move on to other things. We start with Christ and we learn more and more and more of Christ. He's the milk and he's the strong meat. Now look, he says, verse 5, but this mystery in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. The first thing we saw about this mystery is here, he says it's got to be revealed. God's got to reveal it to you and me personally like he did to Paul. But then now he says here too, he says that in ages past, the gospel of Christ was revealed to his saints. And it was revealed by the Holy Spirit. But it was not revealed to his elect to the degree that it's revealed now that Christ has come. That's another thing this word mystery means. It's revealed to us in a greater light. And when you think about it, when you start out in Christ and God teaches you more and more, the path of the just is as a shining light. It shines more and more unto that day. The light's Christ that's shining. And we see more and more of Christ. Just like the Old Testament saints didn't see as much of Christ, but then the New Testament saints saw more of Christ. Well, you take an individual believer. He doesn't start out seeing as much as he sees as he goes on, because God teaches him. Here a little, there a little, and he grows him in the knowledge of Christ, just like he did over time with his people from the Old Testament to the New. And here's what that mystery was that they didn't see then that we see now. Verse 6. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body, partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Man, there's a lot in that verse. He said, Christ has taken down the middle wall that divided Jew and Gentile when he came and fulfilled the law. He took it out of the way. Out of the way. And he made his people one in him. There's no more Jew and Gentile. We're one in Christ. That's the mystery of God's will. He's going to make his people one in Christ. We're not divided by race or place or face or even grace. It's God alone, in Christ alone, through faith alone, by what God has done alone, that makes us one. We're not separating ourselves by anything that we've done or have known or found out by our seeking. It's all God that made us one. And then he says, and now, more clearly, we see that God's Israel is his elect, called from Jews and Gentiles into the same body, into the same family, partakers of one gospel in one Christ. And he says here, and this salvation is by God's promise. It's by God's covenant promise. God makes, he made a covenant promise with himself. And he comes and reveals this covenant promise in our hearts and makes this covenant promise to us. I will, and you shall. And this gospel, this promise is made to us, and this salvation is revealed in us, he says here, by the gospel. Now, it's not by works, and it's not through some system of works. It's revealed through the gospel. God reveals it. God must reveal it. Verse 7. Whereof I was made a minister. This is why I was made a preacher, Paul said. According to the gift of God, of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am the less and the least of all saints, is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. There's what this mystery is Christ. The unsearchable riches of Christ is the mystery we preach. And to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world had been hid in God. Remember he said, we preach wisdom, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world. This mystery was hidden. God's the only one that knew it. His mind and his purpose. But he called some his ministers, and he taught them this mystery, and he sent them forth with this mystery as stewards of the mysteries of Christ to preach this gospel. And he says, this God who created all things by Jesus Christ. You know what that means? Everything that God ordained before the world was made, because he ordained it all and gave it all into the hands of his Son to accomplish, right then, in the ordination of God, the purpose of God, he created everything by Jesus Christ. Everything that he would accomplish throughout all time and space, It was all created in Christ right then, because Christ would not fail to do it. Remember the, I just thought of the revelation of Jesus Christ. And John looked and he saw the book that was sealed. That's the book of God's ordained purpose. Now, everything God would accomplish to glorify Himself, to give His Son preeminence, to save His people, there was this book sealed within and without. And John said, and I wept because there was no man that could take that book and loose those seals. And he looked again, and there was the Lamb as one that had been slain in the midst of the throne. And Christ took the book out of the hand of God. And everybody bowed down and began to cry out, "Thou art worthy to take the book and to loose the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God out of every nation and kindred and tribe and tongue under heaven, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." In the very next chapter, I believe, he says, "And I looked and I saw him going forth on a white stallion with a crown on his head and a bow in his hand to conquer, conquering and to conquer." And that's what's been happening from the time God ordained everything that would come to pass in this mystery of His will that we're learning about. He gave it into Christ's hands. He created it all by Christ right then when Christ entered covenant with Him. And Christ has been going forth from before the foundation of the world, conquering and to conquer, fulfilling the whole purpose of God. Christ has been doing it. Look now over to Romans 16. Romans 16. Look at verse 25. Just trying to show you that this mystery, it's called a mystery because it's got to be revealed by God. It was concealed before. We didn't see it. We didn't know it. It has to be revealed by God. Look, Romans 16:25. "Now to Him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel." That's the message we preach. You know what I'm preaching to you right now? That God's the only one that can establish you. He's the only one that can reveal this mystery in you. He says, "Now to Him that is of power to establish you," exactly according to what I've preached to you. He says, "and the preaching of Jesus Christ." That's how He's going to establish you. The preaching of Jesus Christ. "According to the revelation of the mystery." The revelation is God revealing. We preach the gospel, and I'm not ashamed of it, Paul said, "for therein is the righteousness of God revealed." This mystery has got to be revealed in our heart. And this mystery, he says, was kept secret since the world began. But now it's made manifest. God knew it. Paul's going to say later in 1 Corinthians, and who knows the mind of God but God? Just like no man knows what you're thinking but you. And he says, and so no man knew what God was thinking. This thing was kept secret from the world before the world began. But He makes it manifest to us through His Spirit into our hearts. It makes us behold Christ in whom we see it all unfold. Look at this, verse 26. "And by the Scriptures of the prophets." Paul began Romans 1 saying, "I preach in the gospel which God spoke before and all the prophets. And it's according to the commandment of the everlasting God." God commands this to be revealed and to be brought to His people. He commanded it be made to all nations, to all His people scattered in all nations for the obedience of faith. And you know what this mystery is? I won't have you turn there. Paul repeats the exact same thing he said here and he said in Ephesians. He repeats it in Colossians 1. But then he tells us what this mystery is. He says this, "To whom God would make known the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." It's Christ who came into the midst of His church when He came into this world, and it's Christ And He worked out the redemption of His people for us by His works when He walked this earth. And it's Christ in you, in your heart, the work He does in us by His grace. That's the hope of glory. What He's done for us and what He's done in us. That's the mystery that has to be revealed. So, first thing we see here is the Scriptures when it talks about a mystery. It's talking about that which was before hidden. Hidden because of our sin. Hidden because it was in the mind and purpose of God. Hidden because God brought it to pass. You remember that Scripture in Isaiah where He said, I'm bringing this to pass today, which was not, you didn't see this yesterday or anything. I'm bringing it to pass today so that you can't say, I knew it. So you have to bow to God and say, God did this. And it's new in our heart, revealed in our heart by God. This is what it means by new. There's an old saying, and you've probably heard this. Men will say, if it's new, it's not true. And that's okay saying. I've said it. Other men have said it. I've heard faithful men say it. It means the gospel that we preach is not new. It's as old as God. It's an eternal gospel. But when God reveals His truth in our hearts, though it's as old as eternity, it's new to us. It's new to us. So don't let a man-made saying keep you from receiving God's eternal truth simply because it's newly revealed to you. I had somebody tell me one time that heard the truth preached, and they said, well, I can't believe that because if it's new, it ain't true. Well, it ain't new to me, and it ain't new to God. It's been there ever since the beginning with God. It's just new to you. Now, don't let a man-made saying keep you from being taught and keep you, you see what I'm saying? All right, let's move on. And then here's something else Scripture means. 1 Timothy 3:16. Here's something else this thing mystery means. And I want you that have not believed on Christ, I want you to hear this especially. This word mystery also means that which cannot be explained. It cannot be figured out with your natural intellect. It can only be received and must be received by faith alone. Just believe God. Because God's too big for you. He's too big for me. I'll give you a look here. 1 Timothy 3:16. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Is there anything there that you can explain? No. It's too big for me and it's too big for you. God came in human flesh, but we're called to believe. We believe God. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the substance. Look, I won't have you turn here, but in Ephesians 5:30, he says we're members of Christ's body, of His flesh, and of His bones. Now, that's God declaring what His people are with Christ. We're members of His body, of His flesh, and of His bones. And it's for this cause that a man shall leave his father and his mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they too shall be one flesh. That marriage was patterned after Christ and His bride. One body, one flesh, and one with His bones. And Paul says, that's a great mystery. But I'm speaking concerning Christ and the church. Are you going to be able to explain how we're members of His body, of His flesh, and of His bones? I can't dissect that and tell you, but I can believe God. Believe God. There's mysteries in the gospel that you're not going to be able to explain them. You just believe them. We worship one God, but He's revealed in three persons. God in three persons, the Trinity. Any man that tried to explain the Trinity is a dummy. You can't even begin to explain the Trinity. You believe. That's what faith is. God made flesh, the God-man. It's a mystery. Christ, who knew no sin, made sin for us. While at the same time, through the eternal Spirit, He offered Himself without spot to God. These are things you can't explain. Christ raised from the dead. We've never done that. We can't explain that. Science can't tell you how that could have happened. Christ in a human body ascended up into the air. They watched Him go out of sight. And now, somewhere called the third heaven, Christ lives in a body, and He's ruling and reigning. Everything is happening in this earth right now, from the least to the greatest. We can't. You see what I'm saying? You believe. You and I, sinful. You see your sin, I see my sin. We mourn our sin. We hate our sin. We long for the day when we'll be free from this body of death. Yet God says, your body of sins is dead. He says this to the believer. And you're alive, risen with Christ, seated at the right hand of God. It's already finished. Faith says, hallelujah. I believe Him. I trust Him. Thank God He gave me the faith to trust Him and believe. Help me, Lord, for not believing You as I ought to. But to explain these things, so the man says, I won't believe until you can explain these things to me. You won't believe. You want a God that can be explained? Who by searching can find out God? Is that the kind of God you want? If that's the kind of God you want, just look in the mirror. He's your God. You're the God. You're over Him. You can explain Him. I want a God that's bigger than me, don't you? All right, let's. I'll tell you something before we move on. I found this interesting. The root word of the Greek word that's translated in our text, mystery, the root word means to shut the mouth. That's what the root word means. And that's what this mystery of the gospel is about. When He reveals the mystery in His child, He shuts our mouth. All our rebuttals, all our vain reasoning, all our, got to figure it out, got to be Mr. Wise and Prudent, all that stuff, we shut our mouths and believe God. All right, now secondly, notice the gospel's a mystery which is hidden to some, and then it's revealed to others. And that's according to God's eternal purpose. Our text says, 1 Corinthians 2:7, we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Now, what does that mean, that He ordained before the world unto our glory? Well, the gospel's a mystery which must be revealed by God because God ordained it to be so. God ordained that it's going to have to be revealed by God. He ordained that. And God ordained that He would be the revealer of it. And He did this unto our glory, Paul says, for speaking on behalf of you and I who believe by His grace. Now, what does that mean? Well, number one, it means God ordained how the gospel would be revealed and to whom it would be revealed so that we would surely be saved. This gospel would surely be revealed to us and we would surely be saved. To glory, unto glory with God. He said in another place, it's a faith that it might be but grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed. So God ordained this wisdom before the world began and ordained how it would be revealed, to whom it would be revealed, and who would do the revealing so that this thing would be sure and certain for all His
elect. It was unto our glorification by God, our salvation by God. That's why He did it. And number two, God ordained how the gospel would be revealed so that our glory would not be in our flesh, but in the Lord. He did this so that He would get all the glory. That's how He ordained it this way. So the reason that some believe the wisdom of God is because God ordained them to believe. You know, in Acts it said when Paul preached, it said, "And as many as were ordained to eternal life, believe." That's who's going to believe. Those who God ordained to eternal life. But God also ordained this. Now, this, listen carefully. He ordained that the gospel would be hidden from the wise and the prudent. Now, who are the wise and the prudent? The wise and the prudent in Scripture are those who claim to know God and believe God, but they glory that it's by their will and by their wisdom. By their wisdom, by their prudence, they came to know God. That's who the wise and the prudent are in Scripture. God hides the gospel from men like that because in reality, they've closed their eyes, they've closed their ears, they've hardened their heart, and they don't believe the gospel at all because they deny this very article of our faith that God must reveal it. They think they see, and they think they hear, and they think they know, so they won't come to God, bow down, asking Christ for life, that He might be the only one they can glory in. You won't ever know Christ if you put any confidence or any trust in the pride of your wisdom. Folks will come to me, and they'll tell me, you know, I want to be baptized, and they'll tell me about how much I know. And how much I learned, and how I know the doctrine of election, and I know the doctrine of predestination, and I've learned this, and I've learned that. Let's just wait a little while. I don't want to know what you've learned. I want to know who you've learned. Have you learned Christ? Do you know Christ? That's the key. Do you know Him? But from eternity, by His grace, God ordained that some He would regenerate, and some He would make believe, and some He would reveal this gospel to. Let's go to Luke 10, and we'll read some Scripture. Luke 10. I'm sorry, go to Matthew 11. We'll go there first. Matthew 11. Verse 25. At that time, Jesus answered and said, "I thank Thee, O Father." He thanked God for this. "Lord of heaven and earth." That means he can do this if he wants to. It's his will. "Because thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent and hast revealed them unto babes." What's a babe? It's somebody God's given a contrite and a humble heart and made them willing, like a little child, to be taught of God and have this revealed to them by God. He's revealed this to babes, but He's hidden it from those wise and cocky know-it-alls. "Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight." Now, here's the purpose of God in this ordination. "All things are delivered unto me of my Father," Christ said. "And no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him." That's why God does it this way, so that Christ gets all the glory. God's eternal purpose in making this gospel have to be revealed to us is so that He gets the glory for revealing it. And so that it's sure to everyone He's going to save, and so that it abases every proud sinner. That's the three reasons: to give Him the glory, to make it sure to His elect, and to abase every proud sinner. Look over at Matthew 13, verse 10. The disciples came and they said to Him, "Why speakest thou unto them in parables?" And He answered and said unto them, "Because it's given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven." It's given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. "For whosoever hath," that is, by God's wisdom, by God's grace, by God's power, whoever has, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, who is it that has not? It's the man who boasts that he knows God and trusts God and loves Jesus all by his will and his works and his wisdom. He doesn't have anything. Claims he does, thinks he does, but he doesn't. And it says, and from him shall be taken away even that he hath. See, any kind of wisdom that's of you, it's going to perish one day. Only the eternal wisdom given by God's going to last forever. Now look, therefore I speak to them in parables because they seeing, see not. And hearing, they hear not. Neither do they understand, and in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which said, by hearing you shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see and shall not perceive. Now watch, it's their own fault though. This people's heart is waxed gross. Their ears are dull of hearing. Their eyes, they have closed. Lest they should hear with their eyes, see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart, should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, in your ears, for they hear. Now, understand what that, don't ever attempt to see and to hear and to understand by your fleshly senses, by your natural reason and all that. Don't ever try to come to God in that. You'll never know Him. And the worst thing that can happen is you end up thinking you do know Him, and it all be by your natural fleshly intellect. You don't want that. You want to be taught of God. Have this revealed to you of God. Christ got to, He's got to give you a new heart and new eyes and new ears and new everything. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things have become new. All right, now let me get to this last thing here real quick. In our text, knowing and believing the wisdom of God has nothing to do with our flesh. He says there, it doesn't have anything to do with any fleshly power, any fleshly advantages. Look at verse 8. None of the princes of this world knew. For had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. The princes were the highest, most powerful rulers of the world. The civil and the religious rulers of the world. They had every advantage over everybody else. They had the most advantages for education. They had the most advantages for learning over everybody. They even had the most advantage to go to the temple and have the scriptures and everything. They had every advantage in every way over everybody. And yet, none of the princes of this world knew Christ. If they would have, it said they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. If Christ had spoken effectually into their hearts, and Christ had revealed Himself in them and taught them that He's the wisdom and power of God unto them which are called. Jew or Gentile, it don't matter who they are, if they're a pauper or they're the prince of this world. Unto them who are called, Christ is the power and wisdom of God. They would have bowed and believed and not crucified Him if He had revealed Himself in them. But He didn't. And if He doesn't reveal Himself in you, you'll do exactly what they did. They crucified the Lord of glory. You say, well, how can I crucify the Lord of glory? By not believing Him, rejecting Him, calling His gospel false and scorning. But what does that mean? Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. You see, Paul was one of these rulers once. He was top of his class in all religious things, all everything religious. And so, he was a ruler. He held the coat of those men while they stoned Stephen. And he knew what he was talking about when he said, had they known Christ, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Because he was one of those rulers, and he was crucifying the Lord of glory, and the Lord of glory met him on the road to Damascus and stopped him. And he didn't do it anymore. He knew what he was talking about. Christ made Himself known to him. Turn to Galatians 2, and I'll show you what it is, and we'll end with this. What is it to know the mystery of the gospel? What is that? What is that? What is it for Christ to be made wisdom and power unto you? The wisdom of the mystery of God. Here's what it is. Number one, concerning God's justice. Concerning God's justice. Christ is the one in whom God honored and satisfied His justice. In Christ on the cross, God slew every one of His people when He slew Christ. That's number one, that's what it is to have Christ made wisdom and power unto you. The way, the only way God's justice can be settled. And I die is by Christ. Galatians 2:20, Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. That's what Paul learned, number one. All right, number two, concerning the justification of His people, concerning my personal justification. How can I die under justice and yet be justified? Well, whenever Christ laid down His life on that cross, He justified every one of His people and raised us to newness of life. Now look at Galatians 2:20. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. There's God's justice. But number two, nevertheless I live. I'm justified. That's what it is to have Christ made wisdom and power unto you. All right, number three, concerning being regenerated to life and having this gospel revealed to me, Christ is He's not only the way to God, which is what we saw in those first two things, He's the life of that new heart, and He's the truth that reveals the truth and the wisdom of that new heart. That's the first thing to know. I died, justice was poured out on me in Christ. Number two, I was justified in Christ. Number three, Christ is my life and my wisdom who makes me to know these things and have life and know these things. Look at the next thing Paul said. Yep, not I. It's not I that live. It's not by my will and my works and my wisdom, but Christ liveth in me. There's a work He did for us. There's a work He does in us. And here's the fourth thing. Concerning our obedience from that day forward, our obedience to the faith, our ceasing to crucify the Lord of glory, when of God Christ is made unto us wisdom. That's when the sinner will cease crucifying the Lord of glory. That's when we'll bow in faith and live the rest of our days unto God. Oh, there's something I can pat myself on the back for. No. Because the only way I keep believing is by the faith of Christ. And the only way that I'm constrained to keep believing Him and keep following Him and not looking away from Him and not looking at my works or my wisdom or anything else is by the faith of Christ working in me, keeping me. Look at the last thing he says. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faithfulness of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. That's what makes a man live by faith. Constrained by His love. The faithfulness of Christ working in you. Now, whenever you've been made to see, God's justice was poured out in full. On me. When? When He poured it out on Christ. And I was justified. When? When Christ justified me and raised me to newness of life. And now I have life. Why? Because Christ is He's the way and the life. And now I know the truth. Why? Christ is the truth in me. He's revealed the truth in me. And now I live by faith and constrained by love. How? By the faith and love of Christ that keeps me. Now, when you've been made to know this, God's made Christ your wisdom and your power. And you just stay right there. You know the mystery now. You know the mystery. You know the hidden mystery. It's been revealed. That's the only way we can know. Amen.